God, I hope it's well with your soul tonight. Amen. All right. Take your Bibles with me, please. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9 in the Word of God. Good to be in church. Thank God. Good to be saved. Amen. Well, God's been good to us. Amen. Appreciate the Lord meeting with us. I want to be a help to you just for a few minutes tonight in Acts chapter number 9. I hope you had a good day. Hope God's blessed you. Amen. There ain't nothing like being around God's people. Amen. Boy, this is as close as we're going to get till we see Him. Amen. And I just soon do this every day, all day long. Be all right with me. That's all I live for. I just appreciate the Lord. Appreciate Him meeting with us this week. And be about over with just one more night. Amen. My part, anyway. Hope you'll go on. Amen. Do something for God. Amen. Acts chapter number 9, please. I want you to look. Begin in verse number 22. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 22. And if you're able tonight, stand with us just for a moment while we read a few verses. Acts chapter number 9. And verse number 22, the Bible says, "But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Yeah. I like the way God says some things. Amen. "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." You know, it's like that's their answer for everything. Amen. We don't like God, so we'll just kill him. Don't like God's preacher, let's just kill him. Amen. Don't like my wife, we'll just kill her. That's their answer. But the Bible says, verse 24, "Their laying away was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." Now, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for this precious moment, God, to be able to preach the Word of God. I beg you, Father, in Jesus' name, God, as we try to be a help to the people, Lord, you'd hide us for a little while, make preaching easy. Lord, speak to hearts tonight. And God, may Jesus receive glory and honor and be magnified for all that's done in this place. We'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach a message I preached about 20 years ago and try to be a help to you for a little while tonight. This man by the name of Saul was a preacher. After God saved him, amen. Before he was saved, he's a persecutor. Now he thought he was doing God justice. But he persecuted the churches and no doubt put many to death and signed for many to be put to death. And then after a while, something strange happened to him while he was heading toward Damascus on the road. And God showed up. Jesus Christ showed up. And a great light shone, amen, blinded him, knocked him to his knees. And things ain't been the same since. Now that's the short of it, amen. After he got saved, he didn't realize he was supposed to go off to 8 years of Bible college, go to Tennessee Temple for 2 years, and Bob Jones for six, amen. And he just thought, well, I'm a preacher, I better get to preaching. So that's what he did. He got his learning about 3 years with Jesus down in Arabia. But till then, all he knew was just perch and preach, amen. And he told God, if you'll just give me a place, I'll just perch and preach, amen. And so he found his place a lot of times on the street corner, a lot of times in the synagogue preaching to the Jews. And so his preaching made them mad. They hated to hear preaching about Jesus. Amen. And after a while, they got so mad, they wanted to kill him. They had determined in their minds, we're going to get rid of this sucker. Amen. He ain't going to preach no more around here. And so they laid in wait at the gate of the city day and night, the Bible said, so that they might kill him. By the way, do you realize his name was changed? It was Saul. After he got saved, watch now, not after he got saved, but after his first convert. God changed his name. You say, why? Because his first convert, that first man ever get saved under his ministry was named Sergius Paulus. That's in your Bible. And after Sergius Paulus got saved, God changed his name to Paul. Amen. And Paul went about preaching the word of God. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I didn't just get up and spit that out. I studied it. Amen. Y'all be all right. Everybody all right? And so he's preaching the word of God. Amen. They're mad. They're ready to kill him. Amen. And so they come up with a plan. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go get one of them big baskets over there. And we're going to put little Paul in that basket. And we're going to throw that basket over the wall. And let him down the wall in a basket. And that was their plan. And I want to just begin right there tonight. We'll jump off there and preach to you tonight on this. Is it worth holding on to?
Yeah.
Amen. Is it worth holding on to? I don't know about you, but I get tired in the ministry. Sometimes I get weary, amen. Sometimes it's hard to go sometimes, brother. I'm just being honest with you. I know this don't happen to a lot of y'all. Y'all spiritual. But sometimes it gets rough, amen. Sometimes I throw up my hands and say, God, what am I going to do now? God, what are you going to do now? I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. I know y'all think this thing is planned, but pastoring is every day job. And you don't ever know what one day from the next is going to hold till you get there. Amen. We do not have it planned out.
Amen.
You would think we do. Amen. But the truth is, we don't know what we're doing. We're trusting God. That's what you ought to be doing. Amen. And so this man of God, he's a preacher. They devised this plan. They're going to put him in a basket. They're going to let him down so he can escape. Amen. And they're saying to themselves, I don't know how in the world we got in this mess. You got to understand something. He wasn't exactly their best friend. Amen. He wasn't exactly their good buddy. This is the man that had killed many of their family members. I'm going to need a few men up here tonight. Brother, you come up here if you will. Give me a couple volunteers. Brother Billy, would you come up here for a minute? Brother, come on up here if you will. You there in the half beard. Come on up. Amen. Brother, come up here just for a minute. Amen. If you'll just kind of line up back there and grab a hold of the rope. Amen. Now, what are we going to do tonight? We're going to let this man down by the wall in the basket. Amen. Everybody all right?
Amen.
And if you feel like you're not up to the task, just let me know and we'll let somebody else come. Everybody can handle it? It's going to get pretty tight. Amen. It's going to get pretty rough. I would suggest to you this. Don't wrap your hand around the rope. It might cut your hand off. All right? Amen. And so they did that, but as soon as they let him in the basket, as soon as they begin to put him down the wall, here's what always happens to every child of God the same way. Everybody all right? The devil comes and jumps up on their shoulder. And the devil says, listen, don't you know that this is the one that murdered your grandmother? Don't you realize? And brother, I'm telling you, it's getting hard to pull and things are getting heavy and the man is getting tough and the devil just keeps on. He said, look, don't you realize he's not worth it? Don't you realize it's just one man? Don't you realize nobody's going to miss him if he's gone? And the devil said, look, hey, I want to tell you something. Don't you remember when he got your grandboy? Don't you remember when he got your cousin? Don't you remember when he put your family members to death? Amen. Hey, listen, and that rope got tighter and that rope got heavier and the devil said, why don't you just give in? Why don't you just let go? What difference does it make? Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. Nobody's worried about him. Why don't you just give up? Amen. But every once in a while, you got to walk up to the wall. And you got to look in the basket. And you got to be reminded of what God's done. Amen. Every once in a while, you got to look over there and you got to see that that's not that old persecutor anymore. That's not that old killer anymore. That's not that old murderer anymore. Now he's a man of God. Now he's a child of the King. All right, listen, Paul said, matter of fact, he wrote some of it. He said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Thank God Almighty, I'm washed tonight. I'm glad it don't depend on what I used to be, where I've been, who I've been with. Thank God Almighty, amen. Jesus saved my soul. He redeemed me from the devil's hell. I don't have to go to hell tonight, amen. Everybody all right? Don't you understand it's getting tough? Don't you understand the devil ain't going to quit? Hey, weren't you there that day when they strung up your cousin out there? Weren't you there when they hung him up by his neck? Weren't you there that day when they come out there and cut the head off of your nephew? Weren't you there? You saw what he did. Lest I remind you, he stood there and held their coats. Yeah. Right. While they killed Stephen and stoned him to death, wasn't Stephen your friend? Yes, didn't you love Stephen? And the devil just keeps on. He's relentless and he never lets up. It ain't worth it. Why don't we just let him go? Nobody cares. Nobody's concerned. It don't make any difference. Hey, just let him go. Let go of it. One drop and it's over with. But I'm telling you something, every once in a while you gotta walk up to the wall. And you got to look and see what's in the basket. Amen. Everybody all right? Back up if you will, fellas. Let me help you. I want to remind, let me just help you tonight. There's a few things tonight, church, that's in your basket. Amen. Can I just remind you tonight? Is everybody okay? I know sometimes, just like these men here, these men are a type tonight of the disciples of Christ.
Right.
Are you with me? And don't you know their hands were bleeding? And don't you know it was getting tough to hold that basket? Don't you know the memories began to flow? All the things that he had done to them, all the things that he had caused in their life, all the heartaches and suffering and turmoil. Hello? Why not give up? Why not just let go? Why not just throw in the towel? Is he really worth it? Does it really matter? Who will care after all? Can I ask you a question tonight? I'm going to help. Can I give you a few things?
Amen.
I want to show you tonight in our basket, we got children, amen.
Amen.
I realize they ain't what they used to be. I realize they don't grow them like they used to. Can I help you for a minute? Don't blame all that on the kids. What do you expect when you put a youngin' in front of a tube at the age of two and leave him to babysit him all day long while you go out gallivanting and do your running? Amen. What do you expect? What do you expect? He's going to be a product of television. He's going to be a product of the media. I remind a little girl, and she was about a year and a half old, and her mama set her in there and turned on the Lion King. Wanted her to watch it while she washed the dishes. And she got in there and got started watching. Stay with me, fellas. I work with me. You don't need to sit down, no, huh? And she's in there washing dishes. She got to washing dishes, and she just happened to turn around, look at the little girl. And the little girl sitting there, not a stitch of clothes on. Had every one of her clothes off and laying beside her. And her mama ran in there, son, honey, what are you doing? Get them, put your clothes back on. What's the matter with you? She dressed her, set her back down in front of Lion King. And went back in there and started washing her dishes. And she's got to washing dishes a little bit, turned around, and sure enough, there she sat with her clothes off. Same little girl. And mama said, went in there. She said, honey, what are you doing? She said, mommy, I'll take my clothes off. She said, honey, why are you taking your clothes off? She said, they told me to. Who told you to? The Lion King. Oh, preacher, you're being far-fetched.
Come on,
that's foolish. What's wrong with you?
Hello,
bro. Hello. Can I suggest to you tonight that your youngins can see things you'll never see?
Right.
Amen. Their mind will pick up things on that, on those cartoons you'll never see.
Right.
Is everybody all right?
Yes,
amen. I realize we raise some, and some of them's hellions and drug addicts, amen, and live for themselves and sit in their room all day and listen to rock music, amen, hell's bells, and hello, everybody all right? I know we get, now we have social media that they can babysit them, amen. Thank God for Facebook. I know a woman that left a church. I was told this by another pastor. She left a church because another lady in the church wouldn't sell her bag of seed for her Facebook farm. I didn't know they had a Facebook farm. I don't have a Facebook account. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? I went down to Auburn, Alabama. Y'all don't know where that's at. You just go south till you smell it and west till you step in it. I went to Auburn, Alabama, and I went down on their campus, and they got a place on campus where you can stand up and you can stand on that one spot and say anything comes to your mind. So we took advantage of it. We took us a handful of tracks, went down there. I got up on the platform and started preaching. I thought we could, you know. That's what they said we could do. And I got to preaching in a big way, and they were passing out tracts, and I looked out, and I seen them. They were like swapping classes. I guess they did that in college. And so, watch, listen, I'm telling you this happened. Now watch. And I'm preaching as hard as I can. Can you believe this? I didn't get nobody's attention. I'm telling you, I was preaching. I wasn't playing like I'm doing tonight. I was preaching. And I didn't get nobody's attention. Nobody looked up. Nobody turned their head. And I looked at them. I studied them for a minute. You know what they were doing? Watch this. Going from dorm to dorm, class to class. Here's what they were doing.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
And never gave me a second thought. You say, what is that, preacher? Social media. Aren't you glad it's social? Thank God it's social. Thank God for Facebook and Twitter.
Hello, preacher.
God help us. And they're the product of what we've raised.
Yes, sir.
We have raised a generation that does not know God.
Amen.
And that's where we are. But hey, listen to me. And I'm telling you, sometimes the devil will tell you, why don't you just give up? They're not worth it. Let them go to hell. But they're still the greatest in the world. Thank God for our children. Amen. I get every once in a while I get a preach on the prodigal son. Y'all know the messages, and God will give me a message on the prodigal son. But about 10 years ago, I got to preach on the one that stayed at home, and I preached a message. And here's what the title was: Thank God for the one that stayed at home. Well, preacher, he was. Yeah, he had an attitude problem. Well, how many of you don't have attitude problems? When's the last time you didn't have an attitude problem? I say, thank God for the one that said, I ain't going after the horse. I'm not going after the liquor crowd. I'm not smoking the dope. I'm not going into the world. I'm not wasting what I got. I'm not wasting my goodly heritage with riotous living. Amen. It's amazing to me. We Christians, God's people, we like to see folks come in with these gory testimonies. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Boy, thank God, man. Boy, did you hear his testimony? He'd been in 3 motorcycle wrecks and 10 fist fights and 4 blood baths and 5 knife stabs. They even had 20 gunshots. And he survived and God saved him. Drowning on his own puke in a drunken stupor, God saved him. And boy, the crowd just goes wild. What about that little one that stands up and says, "Preacher, I never been in a gunfight. I never smoked a cigarette. I don't know what liquor smells like. I never been to them places. I don't listen to that stuff." Hello! I say thank God for that one, amen. I say, hey, listen to me. When it seemed like you ought to let go and nobody cares, I'm telling you every once in a while, you need to step up to the wall, amen, and take a look at what's in the basket, amen. What are y'all doing up here? Back up. I got a call. Our church used to go up to Polkville, North Carolina, and have summer camp.
Yeah.
Years ago. They still go now. Some of y'all go. And so we went up there one year, and my daughter got to liking the place. And they worked it out. She decided she's going to go up there every summer and work for them in the summer, whole summer, stay at camp. So she went up there 15 years old and worked the whole summer. I said, "Praise the Lord, that's great." And so the next summer she went up, and she 16 years old, worked the whole summer. But about mid-June, about 8 o'clock one night, the phone rang. And I said, "Honey, get that, that's for you." It is about 90% of the time. And my wife answered the phone in the bedroom. She said, "Come here." And I went in the bedroom. She said, "It's for you." I said, "Who is it?" She said, "It's Micah." I said, "What you doing calling me?" I'm telling you, I knew her all them years. Not one time did she ever call and say, "Can I speak to Daddy?"
Yeah.
Before my mom and dad died, I called my mom, 55, 53 years old. I called Dad, answer the phone. I said, "Hey, Dad, can I speak to Mom?" Amen. Ain't something about a mama.
Right.
Ain't something about talking to mama.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
But for some reason, Mama answered the phone, and she said, "Can I speak to Daddy?" And I got on the phone. I said, "Hey, honey." And she broke down crying. And she said, I said, "Do what?" I said, "Honey, I can't understand you. You're going to have to quit crying for a minute. Daddy, I need to get saved."
Amen.
Got it.
Thank you.
She said, "I've been working here at camp. This is my second year, and God showed me tonight I'm not saved. Tell me how to get saved."
Thank you, Lord.
I said, "Honey, let me tell you how to do it. You hang that phone up, and you get out on your knees right there where you are before the Holy Ghost leaves. And you tell him you're sorry. You repent of your sins. Please come into your heart and save you." I said, "And then you call Daddy back when you got it settled."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I waited about 10 minutes. Nothing happened. Another 10 minutes, nothing happened. 10 more minutes, I said, "Mama, call her." She called her, and Mike answered the phone. She said, "Oh, my, I forgot to call Daddy back." Mama said, "What's wrong, honey?" She said, "Nothing, Mama. I just got saved." Hey, why don't you just quit? Hey, they're not worth it. Who cares? Nobody's watching. Nobody's concerned. But I'm telling you, bless me, God. Hey, they are worth it. Hey, you got to get up there at that wall and look over and see what's in that basket. Amen. I said, our children's worth it. Can I tell you something tonight? Our country's worth it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Amen. I realize we live in a land where there's crooked deals and unpaid bills and frills and thrills, and you can't tell the jacks from the jills. Dope on every corner, and you got to know a different language just to buy some. Hello? And I've never seen such a mess. Killing our youngins by the score, offering up on the sacrifice of having a good time.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
Sodomites can march down the streets, amen.
Right.
And apply for their rights and bid for their rights and poster for their rights. Move the men and women in the Supreme Court. You tell me how in the world can 3% of a population of a nation can get things moved in Congress, and a country that calls themselves 80% Christian can't get them moved, amen. Something's wrong. Gets so bad sometimes you just feel like throwing in. You just feel like giving up. I preach and I preach and I preach. It seems like nothing moves and nobody cares. And ain't no use to keep going. Why don't you just throw it out?
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
But every once in a while,
amen.
You got to move up to the wall.
Amen. Yeah.
You got to look in that basket.
Yep.
It might look like the most wicked, most hellious, most unforgotten, God-forsaken place in the world. Can I remind you of something? It's still the greatest place there is in this world. It's greater than Haiti, and it's greater than Colombia. It's greater than Russia and Red China. It's greater than North Korea, Kim Jong-un and all his relatives. Amen. I thank God that God maybe took a lost man, I don't know, and put him in a place, a position to make some decisions, to make this country what it ought to be, or at least get it back on the right track. I say God has given us a window of opportunity to make some things right again. God's given us one more chance to bring us home. Thank God for America. Amen. I know it ain't what it seems.
Amen.
Seem like everything's falling apart. Seem like nobody cares anymore.
Right.
Used to be some camaraderie in this country.
Yeah.
Used to be some brotherhood. Now you... they can rape some man's daughter down the road 2 blocks from you while you stand there in the wind and listen to her scream.
Yeah.
Nobody moves.
Yeah. Right.
Hello? That ain't none of my business.
Yeah, come on.
I don't want to get involved.
Come on.
All right. Yeah. I ain't gonna get. I'm not gonna ruffle the feathers. And so it gets tougher for them that preach, and tougher for them that's trying to do right, and tougher for them that's trying to raise their family in a good country. Amen. Hey, you know what? You don't like America? You ought to try some of the places we've been. Why don't you go to Philippines and stay 2 or 3 weeks up in the jungles? Amen. I'll tell you what you'll do. When you get back to San Francisco, home of the fruits and nuts, you'll get on your knees and kiss the ground and thank God for America. Are you pulling to Detroit, Motor City, on a Friday night? When all the drunks and pimps is doing their thing. Get out and kiss the ground. Thank God for America. Are y'all listening to me? See, sometimes it gets tough. And the devil says, hey, preacher, what's the use? Nobody cares. Nobody will hardly come to church anymore on Wednesday night. Why do we keep preaching like we're preaching? Why do we keep believing that book? Why do we keep doing what we're doing? And every once in a while.
Yeah, amen.
You got to take a look in the basket.
Amen.
You got to be reminded of what God's done.
Yep.
Listen to me. Listen, get this. God chose Israel.
That's right.
Israel didn't choose God.
Right.
Watch. But God didn't choose America. But America chose God. And I say, thank God for America.
Yeah.
thank God for the red, white, and blue. Amen. Over there in the harbor in New York City stands a woman with a torch. And she says, bring me your tired and your weak. Bring me your hurting and your suffering and your hungry, and I'll take them in.
Yep.
I'm talking about the Statue of Liberty. But that ain't what it used to be.
Right.
But let me tell you about another statue. It stands on about every street corner in America in the South. And it's a white building most of the time, got a big tall steeple. And it stands there and says, bring me your hungry and your tired and your weak, and I'll feed them and I'll clothe them and I'll give them what they need. Amen. I'm talking about the church house, the real Statue of Liberty. Amen. And I'm not talking about the Liberty Bell tonight. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I was up in Pennsylvania just a few weeks ago, preaching a meeting every night about time for church. They start at 6:30, and about 6:29, that preacher walked into a little cubby hole inside the church, and brother, he started pulling on a rope, and brother, that bell started ringing across that land, and you know what it was telling me? Come on in, hear the word of God, get some help from Bible believers. Amen.
You're right,
brother. Yes, sir.
And the devil says, what's the use? Nobody cares. Nobody's worried. Abortion's outrageous and sodomites are running rampant.
Yep.
Amen. Home ain't home anymore. You got my two dads and my three moms.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. And the kids don't know if they're coming or going.
Right.
But every once in a while, brother, you have to step up to the wall.
Amen.
Look in the basket and be reminded of what God's done.
That's right.
Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you have to look in the basket, not only to see our children and to see our country, but you got to look to see the church.
Amen.
Amen. I understand, I realize tonight, we got crooked preachers. I can't get over that guy I met yesterday morning. Standing at the bank, waiting to go in the bank door. I told you about it last night. And that fella stood there, and he is cussing everybody and everything. Something came up about, I don't know, he was complaining about the bank. He said, I wish they'd burn it to the ground. The bank. I said, well, I guess you're getting safe right there. And he said, and then he just complained about his car, his truck, where he got it from. Complained about a house he lived in. Wish somebody burn it. And I said, you know what? I said, thank God for Jesus Christ. There's something that'll never let you down. And you know what he said to me? He said, Dana, there ain't a church in this county or country that ain't trying to gouge people's money. I looked at him in his eyes and I said, you're wrong, buddy. Everybody ain't like that. And everybody ain't sorry, amen. And one fella behind me, he said, yeah. He said, I was a Presbyterian up until about 2 years ago, and I started going to First Baptist Church. He said, man, this changed my whole life. I thought, can you imagine what it's doing for you? Hello? And that guy just kept on belligerent. You know why he was cussing the church? You know why he was putting down God's people? You know why he was burning the bank and burning his house? You know why he was doing that? I told the preacher this morning. I said, when David come walking out of that city over there, and he was going to Maanaim, and he was getting away from his boy chasing him, you know, trying to kill him. And he come down off of that hill, and there stood Shimei. And Shimei was kicking dirt and throwing rocks and cussing David for everything in the book. And David's man said, hey, let me have him. I'll take his head off. David said, leave him alone. He might be right.
Amen.
Amen. Check it out.
Yeah.
I said, you know why Shimei did that to David? And we sat there for a minute. I said, let me tell you why he did it. I said, because he's a Shimei.
Yep.
I said, because when he got out of bed this morning, he cursed his breath. And he cursed his feet putting them on the floor. And he got mad and cursed his eggs and cursed his coffee. Because that's what Shimeis do. Because that's just what they are. He wasn't cursing David because David was bad. He was cursing because he was a curser. And that's just the way he lived. And he hated everybody and everything. Are you listening to me? And sometimes when you deal with people like that, you want to say, what's the use fooling with them? Why not leave them alone? I ought to lock the doors and not let them in the church. Sorry, devils. I ought to call down the road and tell them a crook's coming. Amen. But every once in a while, you have to walk up to the wall. You have to look in that basket and be reminded that's where you used to be. And you'd be in hell tonight if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hello? Is everybody all right? I said, thank God for the church. Thank God for a place where I can still come apart, come together with God's people and worship God and praise God and have liberty. Amen. Thank God for that place. Everybody all right? I gotta finish. You see, I'm telling you, listen to me, folks, it's a battle. And every day, the devil says, won't you just quit? Won't you just forget about it? They ain't going to miss you. You're tired and wore out. Take your break till Jesus comes. Thank you, fellas. Just leave the rope there and you can sit down. Can I just say something to you tonight? I thank God for the church. Church prayed for me when nobody prayed. The church came to me when nobody'd come. The church was there for me when nobody'd be there.
Amen.
Now, you get a little trouble, a little rough in the church. Wind don't blow just right. First thing Christians want to do is kick God out and leave. Lost man gets in trouble. He says, man, I need to find God. Christian gets in trouble. He wants to get rid of God. There's something wrong.
Amen.
That's right.
Can I tell you a story? Illustration real quick. I'm done. I cut a lot of it out, but I know you can't take much more. You remember them old movies where them old wagons be going west, you know? You know what I'm talking about? And they get out there and they look over on top of the hill over there and be two feathers sticking up. And they stop the wagon and they look up again and it's four feathers. Next thing you know, they're just lying with horseback and Indians on horseback all across the hills. And so, just as fast as they can, they tell them, circle the wagons, circle the wagons. Let's get a circle, get a circle. Get the women and children in the middle. Everybody grab a gun. And so they'd circle them wagons, and here come the Indians. Y'all never seen them? And boy, they'd get down there behind a wagon wheel and one of them behind a barrel of water, you know, and they'd start to shoot. And Indians would be going round and around the wagons. And they'd... And they'd do that all day. And man, here they are. And the water, they done shot the water barrel full of holes, and the water's leaked out. It's gone. They downed about one bullet apiece. And he looks at him and says, what you got? I just got one. What you got? I just got one. And he looks back and the women and children are safe. Some of the fellas is dead. And all the ammunition's gone. And all the water's spent. And the Indians are still coming. Well, he throws that bullet, that last bullet in the barrel, in the chamber. And he raises it up. Just about the time he raises it up, he hears that bugle. And here they come across the hill. And boy, they're carrying that American flag. And here comes the Calvary. I said, here comes the Calvary. I said, here comes the Calvary. And boy, they run them Indians back in the hills. Save the day. Give them more water and ammunition.
Yeah, amen.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Sometimes it's that way in our life. Sometimes I feel like my water's spent.
Come on.
I'm wore out and beat. Got one bullet left. Nobody's shooting anymore. Seem like you're all by yourself, and you walk by men, good men that have been in the ministry for years and years, and they died out of the will of God, and you walk by them and wipe the tears in your eyes and keep walking. Just about the time you drop on your knees and throw up your hands and say, God, and you hear that bugle sound.
Amen.
And that trumpet sounds out with a blast.
That's right, bro. He's coming.
Amen.
All right, I'm done. Need you to hold your rope tonight.
Amen.
Preacher, you come.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question, church? How many of you came here tonight feeling like I need to give up? I'm tired. Don't know if I could take any more. Could I ask you just to hang on just a little bit longer?
Amen.
Grab a hold of your rope tonight. By God's grace and mercy, Jesus is coming. The Calvary's on the way.